There are 100 reasons we could have been talking about this show, but we all know that we're here for only one. On this episode, we talk about the 100, Lex's death, the weird vibes of the cast and crew, a tweet by a showrunner that has somehow disappeared from history, and of course, the best character, Raven.
Welcome to In Media Less, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we will be discussing the 2014 through 2020 television series, The 100.
2020? I'm sorry. 2020?
It went on for a while. There were...
My God.
How many seasons were there? There were six seasons, I think. Seven seasons.
Okay. Sorry. Continue.
The 100, developed by Jason Rothenberg, based on the novel series by Cass Morgan, starring Eliza Taylor as Clark Griffin, Paige Turco as Abby Griffin, Thomas McDonald as Finn, Ellie Gorey as Wells, Jaha Marie Avgeropoulos as Octavia, Bob Morley as Bellamy Blake, Kelly Hugh as Cece Cartwig. I don't even remember. I'm just doing this off the Wikipedia. I don't know who any of these characters are. Christopher Larkin as Monty Green. Devin Bostick as Jasper. Isaiah Washington, who is amazing, as Thelonious Jaha. Henry Ian Cusick as Marcus. Lindsay Morgan as Raven Reyes. Ricky Whittle as Lincoln. Richard Harmon as John Murphy. I can keep going, but that's enough.
No. List all 1,000 crew members. Okay.
Zach McGowan is Rowan.
I've made a mistake. I made a terrible mistake.
Shannon Cook is Jordan Green. J.R. Bourne is Russell. Lightborn Malachi is Shield Hayda. Chuku Modu as Gabriel Santiago. Shelby
this
Flannery
joke
is
has
Hope
gone
Dioza.
On for long enough.
Okay.
Long enough.
Okay, so we're not really going to talk about.
We all know about this plot. Show. We know about this show.
Well, for those of you who don't know, Val, why don't you give them a rundown of what happened on this show?
This is a show about 100 teenagers who are in jail on a space station, who get sent down to Earth after a massive nuclear war has ravaged it and made it unlivable, allegedly. And to test if it's safe to come back down. So, you know, it starts with a very, very black and white ethical undilemma. You know, like, let's send the kids.
Well, I mean, sending the kids is kind of a stupid thing, but sure.
Yeah. You know, if you're trying to repopulate. I don't know. It's logic.
No.
Sound
if,
logic.
If you don't know that it's safe, you don't send the young people who are, like, the next generation. You send the old people.
No. Chloe, you don't understand. You don't understand. There is logic to this.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right? Because
it isn't just CW logic. There's actual logic.
This show was like a mess, but it was a very lovable mess. And then it got very unlovable.
Very quickly. It was very just quickly. Like one episode that just destroyed everything. So like, to summarize really quickly, the first season is just like, they get to the ground and they find out that there are like people who are alive down there, but they're all kids and they're all kind of idiots. So they're doing stupid stuff, and then they realize that they have to fight the grounders, and then they go to war with the grounders, and then in the final episode of the first season they kind of win. Or like they win the battle but not the war, at least.
Yeah. And then they're like people who are closer to how the spacers are, and they're living in the mountain and
the mountain,
like,
people
radiation and stuff.
So the grounders are kind of portrayed as like tribal and have lost most technology,
or even forsaken, really.
Yeah, forsaken. There's some stuff around, there's some like lore around an AI chip and that advises them not to do too much technology because that's what's going to cause nuclear war again, I guess. I don't know. In any case, in the second season, we learn a bit more about the grounders. We learn that they're kind of like rational people, and things get more complicated. We meet the head of the grounders, a queen named Lexa, who's called the Haida or Queen or whatever they call her.
And, there are, sorry, but like,
yeah, go ahead.
There are a lot of really cool things about the show in the beginning, you know, like,
yes.
First of all, they created an entire Creole of English for it.
Yes, like, which is a lot of fun.
The set designs are beautiful. The costuming is really cool. Even the premise, like, it's sci-fi and kind of dumb, and it doesn't make sense, and there are loopholes and all of that stuff. But, like, it was a very interesting show, and the character choices, like, the writing of the characters themselves was really interesting. Like, I fully expected to not like Clark. Yeah. I thought she was going to be, like, that, like, kind of ditzy main character who's not willing to make the hard choices.
Right.
But, like, she's literally the only character in the show who was, for a lot of choices, the only one able to make them. And, like, that was so refreshing and interesting. And there was so much work put into the show to make it really good, and it was. And yeah. Then they kind of, like, destroyed it in one episode. I'm honestly entirely shocked to hear that it went till 2020, that it had 7 seasons. I knew it went past the 3rd one.
Yeah.
And... like, in some sense, I knew it went further than, like, it should have, longer than it should have. But the fact that it just ended a couple of years ago it's baffling.
So let's unpack that a bit. What happened in that? Let's talk about what happened in that episode that was so awful.
Well, I feel like, okay, so there's this entire romance that is built up between the main character, Clark, and this leader of the Grounders, Lexa, and for a season it's been building, and it's like this enemies to lovers sort of thing. There's politics in it, all like the CW teenage nonsense in it, you know, all of that stuff. And when they finally get together and they have like they spend the night together and they're finally happy, immediately after, Lexa is shot because of that. Like, that is the reason she gets killed, by her closest confidant, the person who was supposed to take care of her the most. And I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How did you watch this episode? Like, what was the... What were the circumstances of you viewing this episode?
The circumstances of me viewing this episode... So, I had started watching this slightly before, a few weeks before the controversy, this episode aired, which I guess was on March 3rd, 2016. And I had started watching it in February, because I remember, like, I don't know, it's like February, it's midwinter, you're bored. And I remember just seeing it and was like, I've heard things, you know, I'm not on Tumblr back then, but like, by osmosis, I had known that, like, this had some, at least hints of some, like, queerness in it. So I'll check it out. Mm-hmm. And I was almost done with the second season when the 7th episode of the 3rd season aired. And then you couldn't escape it online if you were in any sort of anything. I think pretty much anywhere online, you would have heard about the 100 discourse because it just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It was everywhere. And, like... even if I had tried not to be spoiled, I was spoiled, and I knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And despite that, I kept watching because I just wanted to get there.
Yeah.
And yeah, just after you watch it, it just destroys all your motivation to keep going.
It really does.
Even knowing it was coming, even though I had gotten into it beforehand, and just knowing that it was coming, it still sucks. Like, it's still awful to experience it, just to see it and just like be like, wow. This is really bad. What was your experience?
I think I started The 100 either halfway through first season when it was airing, or maybe when the second season started. And I very quickly caught up and then would watch it as it released, right? So I watched that episode
live as it premiered.
I actually wasn't. I very rarely watch shows as they are released.
Yeah.
But I think, like, my schedule just perfectly lined up in such a way where I was able to, and then it became a habit. And, like, I wasn't, like, this isn't even, like, a show that I particularly loved.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I wasn't a huge fan. But that episode, it destroyed me. Not only because of, like, what happened on it. But literally, as that scene happened, because I was on my phone already, right? Just, like, watching it, like, going through Twitter, whatever. Going through Tumblr, all that stuff. As that scene ended, the, what's his name?
David Rothenberg, I think.
Jason. Jason Rothenberg, yeah. Right after that scene, Rothenberg tweeted something like, "Bet you didn't see that coming." And it was such a smug kind of like, haha, got you tweet, that is what, like...
I didn't know about the tweet.
Yeah, I bet it was probably deleted very quickly afterwards. Okay. I don't know if it was, but I'm... something is telling me it probably was. But it was tweeted immediately after the scene was over.
Okay.
And he felt extremely proud of it, because it caught us off guard or something like that, right? And it's like, that's the whole thing, like... I think it was around the time where a lot of creators with, like, long-running shows, they kind of gave up on the whole, like, good writing is good foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And that was really the time where a lot of the things that happen on TV shows were, like, the more surprised the viewer is, the better it
is. It was the Game of Thrones era. It was the whole, like... If you just have a character die out of nowhere, that's good television, because then people are going to film themselves like reacting to it.
And it's going to be shock.
Yeah, and they're going to be shocked. And that's like better than actually, having foreshadowing or any sort of like context. That makes
sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Just kill your characters, because that creates those like, I don't know, like hashtagable moments where you post a video of your girlfriend crying or whatever, because she was surprised about the red wedding, you know, in Game of Thrones. And that gets you a lot of publicity, free publicity for your media.
Yeah. And it was actually like, it made me feel sick to my stomach, because it was just so homophobic. I don't know. I grew up in Brooklyn, right? So like, I didn't experience a lot of homophobia that was directed at me, you know, like,
right,
you hear about it, you hear about like a lot of people experiencing it, and like, it's awful, but I didn't really understand it that much personally. I understood it, but I couldn't sympathize with that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then this is when I was like, ooh, okay, so this is a fraction of what these people experience all the time.
Yeah.
It actually just, it made me feel kind of sick to my stomach. And I watched maybe one more episode after that, but it made me feel ill. And I've never had that sort of reaction to anything on TV before, like in such a negative way. And I just like afterwards just didn't watch it anymore.
Which is very fair, because I think a lot of people had a similar reaction. But can I ask you this question? And I don't mean this. This is meant as kind of like a discussion question. I don't mean to like push back, but like,
yeah,
we've had a lot of other pieces of media that we've discussed on this podcast that where, you know, someone in the relationship dies.
Mm-hmm.
What made this different for you that made it feel so hateful?
It was the reaction of the creators.
Okay.
They thought it was groundbreaking, masterpiece, funny sort of thing. Like, yeah. Oopsie, look what happens to people who are happy in this world, right? And, like, here's the thing. A lot of characters lost people very, very dear to them in the show. So death is not new, right? Yeah. It's a thing that constantly happens, and we're kind of used to it. But this was just a little bit different. This wasn't a situation that was born from, like, violence, like the other deaths. The other deaths were made from violence. From conflict. This happened because these two characters were together and they were happy for the first time. Like, literally, that is the premise for that death.
Yes. I want to contrast it with how another death was handled. Because if you compare it to other series, people will be like, well, it's its own thing. But but if we look at Finn, so who was one of Clark's romantic interests, same as Lexa. You know, Finn was presented in season one as this kind of like problematic heartthrob. Like, he's in the end like a good guy, but he's also kind of a rebel, anti-hero type. And then I believe it's in the second season is when he commits the war crimes.
Yes. Yes, it was.
and he has to be put to death. And there's a lot of foreshadowing that this is going to happen. There's a lot of buildup. There's a lot of story beats presenting the fact that, like, one, you know, like, Finn is crossing a line here that is going to get him punished. That is presented very clearly. Two, then when he does it, when he, like, does the war crimes and is caught and is, you know, like, there's presented all these moments of, like, buildup of, like, he has done something wrong. He is not really apologetic for it. He's going to do this. And then, like, Clark's even given, you know, like, all these options in terms of how it's going to work and how he's going to die. And it's really presented in a way that, like, to me, what makes this different from Lexa is that Lexa's death is like a very brutal, quick, random act of violence that is perpetrated against a queer woman for the fact that she expresses her sexuality. Mm-hmm. Whereas Finn, his death, his, you know, Clark is given time to say goodbye. She's given the opportunity to choose the means of his death. Kind of de facto, I think she ends up stabbing him so he isn't burned alive. Yeah. And there's the buildup of the narrative buildup, which you have mentioned was missing. And we talked about, like, the Game of Thrones syndrome, but, like, the narrative buildup of him crossing that threshold of being unforgivable. And so to me, that's what makes this so awful by comparison, is that Finn, the straight love interest, is given all this time and space to die, in a sense. Whereas Lexa, it's just like, bang, bang, you know, gunshot, you're dead. Moving on to the next story beat. Who is Lexa's successor? That's the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but also, like, they kind of have a pattern of doing this where, unfortunately, because this show is so diverse, a lot of people of color are killed off.
Yes. Lincoln.
There was a character in the first season, Clark's best friend, Jaha's son.
Yeah, Wells.
Wells, yes. Like, yeah. Apparently in the book, Wells is one of the main characters, which my sister read it, and, like, my sister watched the show, and then she read the books, and she was actually very surprised because Wells is in it for a while. And, like, he's a main character. In this show, they kill him off. It wasn't at the end of season one. It was just, like, mid-season one. And it was just, like, a random, very violent death.
Again, I think it's that Game of Thrones syndrome, man.
Yeah, it was just, like, some very young child who's psychopathic and scared. And she just randomly kills him because she wants to kill someone. And, like, it doesn't necessarily make sense.
If I remember correctly,
but it doesn't have to make sense. But, like, still, you know, like, go ahead. Sorry.
No, if I remember correctly, in the books, isn't it Clark and Bellamy end up together?
Well, Lexa is not in the books at all.
Right.
I honestly do not know. I'm not sure.
Okay. But, yes.
But yeah,
it,
like,
is Clark and Bellamy.
Which I don't mind. I actually really like Bellamy as a character up till the point where I watched it. I've heard some stuff about
Bob
his character.
Bob Morley is later. Great. It's the, like, actor.
Just, like, yeah, he portrays Bellamy in such a good way, and also just the way the characters are written. A lot of the characters are written really, really well, and they stay with their ethics and their own set of rules. We have Clark make very difficult decisions. She's the one that basically kills 300 people in the end of season one to protect her own.
Yeah.
And then in season two, she kills everyone in the mountain.
Yeah.
Very painfully and violently to protect her own. And her people have expanded to be not only her set of 100 teenagers that came with her, but also the grounders now, because she understands the situation, right? And they formed alliances and all that stuff. But, like, she very, very consistently creates, like, she does war crimes.
Yeah.
She does things like biological warfare. She, like, violently kills. She pretty much decides in a lot of moments who lives and who dies. And she has a lot of power, and she uses it. And that is interesting. And, like, I don't know, I really, really enjoyed her being able to do that. Because, like, this is the first time I wasn't annoyed by a main character that much. You know, like, there are a lot of, I watched Teen Wolf for a bit. The main guy, like, he was fine, But as in many teenage shows with, like, a lead,
yeah,
they have to be, like, the perfectly moral specimen of what a human being should be, right? Like, all of those shows have the main character be that person down to their core, mm-hmm. and the conflict comes from them having to choose whether to deviate from that in certain decisions.
Yeah.
Here, we don't have that. Here we have Clark ultimately being a very, in D&D terms, like a chaotic good. She doesn't necessarily follow laws or rules.
I don't even know if she's good.
I think she starts off as good, but she's more like neutral.
Yeah.
Because as we keep going, there are really no sides, right? And like, I don't know, it was so interesting. And then they just like very cheaply did this scene for the views, for the talk, for the tweets. And it was clearly a PR thing.
What scene are you talking about?
The death of Lexa.
Yes. I thought you were talking about the scene where she comes back at the end of the season briefly.
Who?
Lexa.
She does?
Yeah.
As like a
basically a force ghost, let's say.
Huh. I didn't know that because I never finished.
It was very clearly added in to...
Oh, at the end! The very, yes. very end of the show. That clip I
Not
seen.
The show.
Not the show?
No.
Oh.
Third season.
Well, okay. So I guess she comes back twice?
Yes.
Because I've seen just the end of the show. It made no sense to me. I had no context for it. And then Lexa showed up. And I was like, okay. I don't know what's happening. I don't care. But this is hilarious. But yeah. So those are my strong opinions. Like, this show had a lot of deaths that were interesting. And like... really actually sad.
Yeah.
And then it had a couple of deaths that were just kind of like brutal and shocking. And I never got to the part where they kill off Lincoln. But
okay, I think that happens later in the third season.
But I feel like when that happened, a lot of people reacted in a very, very similar way.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I feel like after handling it the first time, correctly, incorrectly, whatever, like, the writers had to get through that first hurdle of we killed off Lexa and we had this really bad reaction. They probably could have reacted a little, like, they could have done it a little differently with Lincoln.
Yeah.
Who was probably the other beloved character. And both of them were grounders, right? Both of them had brutal deaths. Like, I don't know, there's just certain things that could have been handled more sensitively. But overall, I actually really liked the first two seasons.
Yes.
It was really, really, really good.
So let me, because that makes it sound like you're wrapping up, let me ask you a question. Yeah. So one reason why they said that they had to kill Lexa was because the actress who played her, Alicia Debnam Carey,
She went to Walking Dead, right?
Fear the Walking Dead, specifically. So how would you, knowing that your actress is leaving, how would you rewrite this so that it wasn't so awful, but you can still accommodate that?
Kill her in battle. They kill a lot of people in battle.
You're okay with her dying, as long as it's done okay.
If it was anyone else, I probably would have said, like, find a way to just have them walk away. Because they kind of, like, they can do that. People just kind of, like, disappear. It's fine. But because she's a leader... and they crafted this entire thing around her, this mythology that there's, like, this thing inside of her that makes her the leader. Like, she can't be easily replaced. She has to die for it, right?
Right.
So, like, they dug themselves into a hole with that. But not after she just, like, had sex with her girlfriend for the first time, and they're, like, happy. You know? And then she wakes up and gets killed by the person who literally exists to protect her.
Yeah.
Remember when, at some point, Lexa kills her bodyguard?
Yeah.
Because the bodyguard did some shenanigans to incriminate Clark or something. I don't remember it. I've watched it.
Yeah,
he was 16, 17.
Did something. Yeah.
Yeah. That was upsetting, but it made sense and it was interesting. And like, I don't like violence in shows, but like, they handled it really well. So they know how to do that. When they killed Indra. And they did it well, right?
Yeah, that sucked, though.
It sucked. They did it well.
Yeah.
I feel like in the show, they really only kill grounders. But, like, it happened.
Some other space. I don't know, like...
Like four. And then, like, a few hundred. and then a few hundred ground, whatever, like there's mostly grounders there anyway, so I feel like that's a different discussion. But
Monty, Jasper,
they died.
Yeah,
both of them.
Okay, well, Monty, okay, I'm just gonna spoil everything because who cares.
Yeah,
Monty, like what happens is in the fourth season is that they stop the evil AI that's like the bad guy in the third season, but all the remaining nuclear power plants on the Earth are starting to wear out and they're going to go supercritical or something.
Okay, after like centuries. Yeah.
Yeah. And all so, well, it's something, there's something, there's something that's doing it, but basically they either have to find a way to like take refuge or they have to leave. And what happens is that a bunch of people under the leadership of Octavia go into a bunker, but then a few of them, including Bellamy and most of the like original 100, go back up to outer space and then go into like hypersleep or whatever. Okay. But Monty is supposed to like
turn it on or something.
Well, he's supposed to sleep with them, but then apparently he decides not to for some reason. And just, like, lives out the rest of his life taking care of everyone.
Oh, okay. So he's just, like, yeah, okay. So he wasn't brutally killed. That's good.
No, he just, like, decided to live out. And he found, like, a partner and whatnot. So
oh, nice.
I don't exactly remember what happened to Jasper, but it was something about Jasper basically, like, becomes a hedonist. And basically, like, I don't know. I don't remember exactly how. I
that
don't wanna,
kid
like,
had it rough.
Yeah, but basically just like nosedives after in the fourth season because thinks the world is going to end. And it's not worth living.
Okay.
Apparently the actor who played Jasper, Devin Bostick, was very upset about how they wrote Jasper out starting in the fourth season. And there was something, I think, back in the time about how he got like drunk and was yelling at some fans who approached him or something. It was something like weird like that, like because he was so upset that they were killing off his character.
Dang. I heard there was a lot of actually drama between the cast.
Yeah, that was the thing that was really interesting. There was a lot of drama apparently. Like, I don't know, I read some of the actors just like wouldn't talk to each other unless they were in character. And yeah, they I don't know if it was just something about like the specific cast or some kind of dysfunction on set. I think a lot of people were worried because of this Game of Thronesy and just kill people randomly off. They were very worried that they could lose their job at any time just through the, you know, the whims of the script, I guess. And so maybe that created an atmosphere of like, I don't know, hostility and maybe competition, because this was not something where like they did not have like a set path that they were going to follow. Like there were clearly whole seasons, I think, were rewritten as they saw how things performed. Like, I think like,
dang.
I'm just guessing here.
Yeah.
But I assume that like Henry Ian Cusick was given more and more of a role and transformed from less of a villain and more of a hero because the fan response towards him was so positive. And Isaiah Washington, I think, got more and more attention, again, because fans liked it. Like, he was such an interesting character. People liked him as Thelonious Jaha. And I think they got more screen time as a result. And so I think when you have this series where all the actors, you know one, they can kill my character for any or no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Two, characters that are really well liked seem to stay longer and get more attention and therefore, you know, more press, more possibly a higher billing. And then three, you know, like the fandom is very vocal and active. I think that can create a very toxic work environment. And then we don't even know, you know, Hollywood being to Hollywood, or I don't even know if this is Hollywood because I think it was filmed in Canada, but what do you call that? Like, Ontario would, Toronto would, being what it is, you know, you don't know, maybe the directors and producers were not great people either. So like between all that, that's why I think there was so much drama between the cast. That's my, I have no proof or really even evidence. That's just my theory.
It makes sense. I also think it was probably just work environment.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. Like, it's totally work environment. Because I've been in settings before where, like, if there's one permissive person or one person who just creates this, like, hostile environment, like, people who otherwise would be fine just see that as, like, licensed to be the worst people possible.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think about this show so much, and I think about how good it could have been. Like, and I think it's like all CW shows kind of go through this like life cycle of like the first two seasons are great. Because I think of Riverdale, where like I loved the first two seasons of Riverdale, and then like what happened? Like, why did you? What happened? What happened?
The question for.
I don't have any, like, yeah. I feel like this is bad podcast episode because I'm like, we're supposed to be talking about this, like, but we don't know. Like, it's just like everything went wrong and I don't know what happens, whether it's obviously I don't know, I'm ranting and rambling at this point. So stop me at some point, Val, or cut this out when we when you edit.
That's good.
But like, I know there's like the Game of Thrones syndrome, but there's also just like, do the showrunners just like, are just like, yeah, you know, like, I did this very down-to-earth, oh god, pun not intended, TV, oh no. sci-fi series about some teenagers just trying to, like, make their way in a world that is very, you know, like, they don't understand, and they're faced with a lot of, like, complicated moral dilemmas. And I'm just gonna amp that up a notch by introducing, I don't know, like, AI chips that live in people's necks, and I don't know, like, there's all this weird stuff that starts happening, and it starts having season three. Like, season three is where things go really weird.
Yeah.
Like, with the AI, and, like, I don't know. The
direction just changes, and the pace changes, and, like, it's a completely different show.
And why? That's my question. It's like, why does that happen?
It's not like they ran out of things to do with what they had.
Right? Like, if they had just kept it grounded, that pun was intended. I did it with that kind of smugness. But if they just kept it about, like, these fish out of water trying to fit in with this larger political situation of the Grounders, which is very complicated. You've got the Ice Queen. You've got the other Nightbloods, or the possibility of them, who could challenge Lex's rule. And you just have this, like, Game of Thrones kind of politics story. You don't need to introduce, you know, the threat of nuclear war or nuclear meltdown and AIs. And then in the later seasons, they go to another planet and there's,
they
like...
They do what?
They go to another planet.
What is happening?
They go... it's 125 years later.
Uh-huh. After the cryo sleep, okay.
Oh, and I should mention, Clark becomes a Nightblood.
That I knew. And she gets a kid? She, like, finds a child?
She adopts a kid.
Yeah.
But they go to another world.
Oh my god! Chloe!
What?
We did an episode, like, a million years ago. This is what I was thinking of when we were talking about, like, a lot of video games have, like, a dude and a kid that he finds. And I couldn't for the life of me remember a situation that I was thinking of where there was, like, a woman who finds a kid. It was this.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, it only took me, like, what, 4 months?
Yes, we found one.
Sorry, continue
with this nonsense. It's done really badly here, to be fair. Like, the kid, whose name I think is, like, I want to say Gabby?
Okay.
No, maybe that's wrong. I don't know. Maddie.
Oh, the kid, yeah.
Maddie.
That sounds vaguely familiar from Tumblr.
I mean, they just seem to have, like, no chemistry. Like, I don't know. They just seem kind of... I didn't like them together very much.
Well, it's because the actor who plays Clark is, like, in her 20s when she starts the show. And she's still in her 20s when it's apparently, like, a million years later in the show. And she still looks like she's 15.
Yeah. Anyways, they go to another planet, and there's, like, these groups of humans already live there, I guess, because humans colonized there.
Okay. And but they go, like, there and they have genocide, right?
Well, they have, like, these families that kind of, like, the AI chips are able to pass down, like, their consciousness. And so they, like, fight for bodies. And it's just... I don't know. And then there's something, like...
Maybe it's for the best that Alexa died,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, there's the, you know, like how Alexa was the commander, and there's something called like the Dark Commander, and then
there's
like,
a Dark Commander.
There's a Dark
Commander. I thought cause... Clark was the Dark Commander.
No, she was the like, commander of blood.
Or something. There's three the... of them. Okay, there's, gotcha. There's,
okay, so we've got.
Is there a fourth commander... to round out the elements?
Well, yeah, is there the Avatar, the last commander? I don't know, like the Commander of Fire. But yeah, and then like the final season, I think they like transcend into like an AI consciousness. And that's why they're all Force ghosts at the end.
Okay. All right.
And so they're they're no longer like people, they're just like AI. I don't know.
They're Soylent Green. Gotcha.
It's so weird. It's just like, why couldn't you just keep this about Grounder Pop? Like, I feel like there's so many stories you could have done with that. Yes. Like, why did it have to get so bizarre? But it's the same thing that Riverdale did, where Riverdale was like, okay, you know, we've had two, you know, kind of cartoony seasons, kind of goofy seasons, but they've always kind of towed the line in reality. And then the third season, they're just like, now what if, you know, there's a drug called Jingle Jangle that looks like pixie sticks, and if you play Dungeons and Dragons, it makes you go crazy and kill people. That's our third season of Riverdale.
It's really, really wild. It's like, I feel like maybe it's something in the companies themselves that happens. I don't know, like, I do not understand how certain shows get canceled and then certain shows keep going. Like, Supernatural went on for 17 seasons. Right? I think it finished like a year or two ago. And like, who was still watching it? I'm legitimately curious. Who was watching it to the point where they needed an extra 12 seasons where the show should have ended? You know what I mean? Like, it's actually something that I'm deeply, deeply curious about, but I don't have like an answer and I can't find an answer.
I have no idea. All I can figure is that these shows are being made, but like, even if they're being made super cheaply, it's just like, there's still a question, like, they get some pretty high profile talent for them. They're not using terrible act, like,
yeah,
there's good actors. So we, even if the like other budgets, but like, even if the other, like, I'm thinking about the show and I'm still thinking like, no, because I feel like the setting and the costuming were pretty good. Like, it didn't feel cheap. So, like, what? How are they able to produce these shows?
Yeah. It's...
And, like, I'm still really make curious. A profit, I guess. And,
like, I know, like, we keep saying it. The actors are really good.
Yeah. It, like, gives the same thing on Archie. Like, all the actors, I love them. Like, they do such a good job with the material they're given. And
at this like, point, like, they're amazing.
Yeah. Just,
having to read those lines and then perform them.
Like, for all the criticism you hear about the 100 and about Riverdale, it's never that, like, oh, the acting is so bad. It's like, okay, maybe sometimes they're doing kind of that wink at the camera CW style performance, but it's not because it's bad acting. It's just because they're given really bad material to work with.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so weird. I will never understand why the 100 ended up the way it did.
I cannot begin to understand how it got derailed so fast.
I would love if there were some journalist somewhere who would do like a deep dive, who has like access, who would go and interview some of the actors and production people, because I'm guessing the crew would have a lot of insight as well. Mm-hmm. Just talk to people and put together like an oral history of what happened. But the same way you see like those, I don't know, like, there's, like, an oral history of, like, Final Fantasy VII, which is amazing, and if you haven't read it, highly recommend. Just to understand the nuance of, like, how this show got made, and then, like, what happened down the line that made it go off the rails so quickly would be, like, an extremely good read. I would read that, like, enraptured.
Immediately.
Yes.
I feel like we kind of talked about the show itself very little. And we just kind of bashed it the whole time, which is exactly what everyone is here for, of course.
Right. Like, but that's you want to talk surprise. About some of the things we liked about it.
Yeah. What, like, Who are some of your favorites? What did you really enjoy about the show? Because, like, the fandom around it is really, really good.
Yeah. First of all, my favorite character, Raven.
Yes.
Easily.
1,000,000%, yes.
Lindsay Morgan knocked it out of the friggin' park.
First of all, extremely hot, super capable, smart scientist. Come on.
Always, and it always nice to see disability represented.
Yes. And she handles it really well, up to the point that I've seen the show. I do not want to know how they handle it afterwards because I don't trust them.
I do think there's something where she gets, like, miraculously healed by an AI chip for, I don't know, something. There's some cheesiness that happens,
which I think I've read somewhere that she did develop, like, injuries from having to wear that brace all the time, which is fine. Yeah. Like, if they had to undo that so that the, like, the literal actual actor is not physically hurt by this, then, like, make up whatever magical cure there is.
And then John Murphy, Richard Harmon.
So good.
As the villainous, sneaky rat boy. I just think of him as like a rat boy.
Yes.
He's just there to like...
I love a good snake.
He's just on everyone's side. He's on his own side. And just like the moment he enters the scene, he's on the side of whoever's in the room with him until the moment they leave the room. And then he's on a different side.
Yeah, it's excellent. And he does it well. And
yeah,
not
he's
like
so
in the,
good at it.
Like... It's not not a gross way either. It's really weird. It's like such a powerful stance that he has on everything.
Yeah.
I really like that.
I mean, in terms of the adults, Paige Turco is Abby Griffin.
Could not stand Clark's mother.
Really? I mean, like, I don't like her as a character, but I thought the actor did a really good job.
She did a good job, but...
Of being, like, this very unlikable mother
extremely
figure.
Extremely unlikable, who, yeah.
I feel like the issue... So Clark has... It's interesting because she's very much a foil to Clark. Because Clark has this one overriding principle, which is that, like, her people must survive. And she doesn't care how she does it.
Mm-hmm.
And her definition of her people changes quite a bit. Like, and that's the interesting thing about Clark is that, like, her people starts off, it doesn't even include the entirety of the 100 in the first season. She doesn't care about a lot of them.
Yeah, it's just
she thinks
Wells
are stupid.
And maybe Octavia.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it grows and grows and grows. And then it's all 100 by the end of the first season. And then, but then the second season includes the grounders. And by the end of the third season, you know, it's all the people in the grounders, all the humans. And you know, like, that's the interesting thing about Clark is that, like, she's got a fundamental principle, but it changes due to how she interprets who her people are.
Yeah.
Whereas Abby is just like, I don't even know what to describe Abby because she's a doctor and she like, there's so many scenes where it's just like all their problems could have been solved if Abby just refused to help this person who was awful and evil and that Clark was going to end up killing anyway.
Yeah. She's kind of like a very spineless person who sees the world in very black and white shades.
Yeah.
Like there's no gray there whatsoever. And she's literally always wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And the way I actually see this is that's what I thought Clark was going to be like when I first started watching the show. I thought she was going to be this person who tried her best to do the least violent thing and then things went wrong because she couldn't act fast enough, right? Like, but no, Clark actually does all of that and she's decisive, whereas her mother is the one who kind of like waffles and kind of like waits and sees how like sees the other solution that maybe will come. And she's just so indecisive. And she's bad at her job.
Yeah.
And she's one of the leaders. And, like, we have this theme of adults just not being great. So I guess in a way it did make sense that they sent the kids. Because all the adults suck. Like,
they suck at first. They get better.
Kane is fine.
Marcus Kane, played by Henry Ian Cusick.
Yeah, I've really liked his character.
Well, he starts as the villain. That's the funny part.
Yeah. But like,
sorry, that was Benny sneezing.
Bless you, Benny. but like in a way where it made sense, he's just as decisive as Clark is, but he has experience on his side is how I'd like to see it. He is probably a better, not foil, he's like a mirror of Clark, but like very muted. And then Jaha just kind of loses it, which makes sense. He sent his son to death, and then his son actually did die. And, like, I don't know what happened to him. Like, he started
a
cult.
A weird cult, yeah.
Which, whatever, you know, good for him.
I don't even remember what exactly happens to him, but he dies.
Indra is fine, but that's because she, like, does not deal with other adults. She's always hanging out with teenagers, which is why she's great. And then Titus kills kids. So, like, the four adults that are, five adults that are kind of present in the show, half of them are incompetent. The other half that, like, is the half that understands children is better. And I guess there's something there. But, like, yeah, it's tough to, like, Abby.
Yeah.
It couldn't. And then they did the whole thing with her and Kane having, like, a little romance.
Ugh.
Or something. And they didn't go through with it.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Because, like, Kane, bud, you can do better. Yeah. You're, like, a 10. And Abby is, like, not visually, but as, like, a person, not a very high rating.
Okay. Assign her a rating, Val. Come on. Putting you on the
spot.
It's
going to be really mean.
Okay.
It's a very low number.
Do it.
It's like a 3.5.
Oof.
And once again, not visuals.
Dear fans, dear listeners, if Val is wrong, please direct your hate mail to her specifically.
This is purely from competency and the ability to do your profession.
Okay.
What did you like about Raven? I just want to talk about Raven always.
One, she's competent.
Yes.
Like, I feel like that's so important. Like, she just, like, knows her stuff. She knows what she's good at.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't try and be good at other things. She's just the woman in the chair, and that's what you need.
Yes.
And then...
And sometimes she works together with Clark, and they get things done.
Yes. When she teams up with people, and they get things done, it's great. And then I think just, like, I don't know, her whole, like, sarcastic personality is really good. Like, she's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's why I like, I don't know, she's just, there's depth to her too. Like, she's dealing with a lot because, you know, her disability is something that she's newly experienced, and she struggles a lot.
And not only that, but, like, she literally came to Earth risking her life for the guy she was in love with, and turns out he's been there a week and already cheated on her.
Yeah.
And, like, forgot she exists. And, like, that's also Bellamy, pretty right? tough. No, it was Finn.
Finn, that's what it was.
Bellamy is Octavius.
Oh, right.
Which, okay, let's also talk a little bit about Bellamy. How old is he? Because he was not, he's
How
like,
old is Bob Morley, you mean?
No, Bellamy, because he's not their age. He's Octavia's older brother. He's an adult, right? Yeah. And then he went down with them. And then he started sleeping with women, and they're, like, much younger than him?
I think I think canonically they're all supposed to be of age to prevent that, kind of.
That's
pretty much, except for
maybe
Octavia. I sure
hope so, because, like, that's not how they showed it in the show.
I don't know.
I hope it is, because, like, maybe I misinterpreted it, but that, when that happened in the beginning of season one, I hated Bellamy. And then I think they kind of, like, got used to, like, writing them and had them actually form into their own characters. And then he started being fine.
Yeah.
And I actually really like his character, because he's, like, wrong a lot of the times. But he, just like Clark, is willing to do something.
He's like a puppy dog for Clark. He's just there to, like, support her.
Most
he's just
of the
like,
time.
Whatever Clark wants doesn't. To do. Except when... When he doesn't.
Yeah, except for when he pulls a Titus and thinks he knows better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are your final thoughts? Should people in 2023 and beyond, should they watch The 100?
I cannot answer that question because I really enjoyed the show until season 3, episode 7. And I do not know how I would react if I was to watch it in 2023.
Yep.
Like, no idea.
Okay.
Like, you do you. You know, someone give it a try. Tell us what it's like.
Here's what I recommend you do.
Uh-huh.
Watch the first 2 seasons. Watch the 3rd season. Watch the 7th episode up until the part that Clark and Lexa sleep together. And then turn it off and put a note on your TV screen that says, and they all lived happily ever after.
Yeah, watch till 3-6. Finish 3-6. And then, like... Just in your head say, oh no, the show was canceled.
Guess How we'll abrupt. Never know what happens.
Chloe, what are your closing thoughts?
My closing thoughts are That's it. That's my closing thoughts. It's nothing.
It's a silence.
My closing thoughts is like, what's going on, CW? Come on. No, my closing thoughts are, I don't know. I think it's what I just said. Watch the first two seasons. Watch the third season up to episode 6 and then pretend like the rest didn't happen. And then I think you'll enjoy it. It's actually the same thing with Game of Thrones, where it's like, watch the first 4 seasons and then pretend it got canceled.
Watch it with Raven as the main character. Just reconceptualize it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Clark is just this side character. She's just this chaos gremlin who's off committing genocide.
Yeah. She is a chaos gremlin. Oh my god.
Everything just swirls around her.
Yeah.
And she's very tiny, so she is gremlin.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I just want to mention our social media. We have a Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. It is @inmedialez. Our Tumblr is
thepodinmedialez.tumblr.com.
Our subreddit is r/inmedialez. Our website is inmedialez.com. And you can email us at inmedialez@gmail.com. Thank you for everyone who rates, likes, subscribes, talks to us on social media. I don't know. Whatever it is you do, we appreciate you.
Yeah, keep giving us suggestions.
Yeah, we're working on Signalis, which was suggested to us, which is a game.
It's a video game.
Have you started, Val?
I've downloaded it.
Okay. So that's step one.
That is step one. I have downloaded it. And yeah, we'll see you in the next one.
And Jaha bless you.
And don't start nuclear wars, kids.
Please don't.
We did not wait till episode 100 for this, but I don't think I want to put this episode as the 100th episode. Doesn't deserve it.